quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
They say it's in your blood. A game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played. Golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio, brought to you by Mountain America Credit Union, with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Thank you very much and welcome into this week's edition of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor alongside Bob Casper, whose dad, Billy Casper, is a three-time major winner, won 51 times on the PGA Tour, the reigning highest point earner in Ryder Cup, U.S. Ryder Cup history, and a Hall of Famer, Ryder Cup captain, all of those great things. And Bob and his family, they know a little bit of something about major championship golf, and we are going to be previewing next week's Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Also, it is the 50th anniversary of Johnny Miller's win at the Open Championship there at Royal Birkdale in 1976. So that's super awesome. If you haven't had an opportunity, or sorry, you probably haven't, let me just invite you to watch the film.
It's awesome.
That the RNA put out from 50 year 1976 Open Championship. Seve Ballesteros is a 19-year-old. Raymond Floyd's the reigning Masters champion. Jack Nicklaus is freaking Jack Nicklaus. You've got all of them in contention. And you know what? You should just turn in for Christy O'Connor Jr.'s hat, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Or Gary Player's pants. Either way, it's worth watching. And it is a fun watch. And I'll tell you what, golf back then was freaking pure. It was so fun. Golden ages of golf.
The golden ages of golf. I was going to say that exactly. Because, yeah, it's really cool. How about how close the people were to the players? How about, you know, and they do it at the Open Championship, but everybody running up and patting Johnny on the back and hitting him on the head
and everything.
And then, you know, they've got the rope up and stretch it out. And then Johnny comes under the rope and everybody goes nuts. And it's kind of cool to see what they used to do and how they used to do it at the Open Championship.
Ian Carter, golf correspondent for the BBC, is going to join us from the Scottish Open to give us a look at that leaderboard headed into the weekend, as well as a look to next week's Open Championship. The caddy will join us on the back nine, hour number two as well. We got a lot to get to. Thank you for being with us at Real Golf on X. Download us where your favorite podcasts are found by searching Golf Radio or Real Golf Radio. And we'll kick this show off coming up next with Ian Carter, BBC golf correspondent. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Kohl's knows summer comes with a few family debates, like what's the best ice cream flavor or who gets the good pool noodle. But when it comes to Kohl's summer outfits, everyone's in agreement. They're comfy, they're cool, they're stylish. And the best part, they're 20% off. Make the season a little easier with looks your whole family will sign off on at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Select styles, offer ends July 19th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu. My Computer Career, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
This summer, the Honey Pepper Pimento Chicken Sandwich and Pineapple Dragon Fruit and Sprite are back at Chick-fil-A.
Let me tell you about the Pineapple Dragon Fruit and Sprite. It's bright, it's bubbly, it's back.
The Honey Pepper Pimento Chicken Sandwich, it's so rich, and you can choose between the original or the spicy filet.
Ooh, boy.
And then you got those pickled jalapenos tucked right under the filet, and then just to top it all off, you've got a little honey drizzle right on top.
Okay, now I'm a pimento fan.
And I'm feeling the dragon fruit.
Which fan favorite will you choose? Real customers paid for their testimonials.
Straight Talk Wireless presents Pickup Truck Wisdom.
The smartest way to spend your money is not to. Straight Talk offers free 5G phones for new and existing customers on Verizon's 5G network. So the refund money I don't spend on that free phone is the refund money I get to keep for my family. Smart.
Find us at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless. Straightforward. Always. Taxes and fees apply. Plan purchase required for free phone offers. Copyright 2026 Verizon.
Strategic AI leadership without the $300,000 hire. You don't have time to figure out AI, where it's going, and how to integrate it in your business. So don't. That's our job. We come in, we build, we train your team, you take the keys. A complete AI system built around how you actually work. The busy work gets handled, your people get their time back, and while your competitors are still talking about AI, you are already using it. Book a free strategy call at meetcaddy.com. That's meetcaddy.com. Caddy, your unfair advantage.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and really excited to welcome in our next guest across the pond at the Scottish Open, getting ready for next week at Royal Birkdale. He's a BBC golf correspondent and a good friend of ours. You've heard him here on the show. Ian Carter, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Ian, good evening. How are you?
Brian, Bob, great to be with you.
Well, we appreciate it. So first of all, is it tough to concentrate on golf with the World Cup going on over there?
you actually find me sitting watching Belgium against Spain right now, to be perfectly honest. But it's okay, it's half time, so we're all good. There's no denying that, you know, the World Cup is dominating the sporting agenda here. We had a British guy in the semi-finals at Wimbledon in Arthur Ferry. So that's been a big story. And in all honesty, the golf is a little bit under the radar at the moment. But depending on what happens with England and Norway, which is obviously coming up, the big quarterfinal for the England fans, you know, if England were to go out, then obviously people would be very upset. But it would clear the path for the Open next week to really take center stage.
It's amazing.
I like that.
It's amazing how worldwide everybody comes together for the World Cup. And I wouldn't fancy myself as a soccer fan per se, but it's hard to not get caught up in it and watch. Of course, Team USA, you know, had a little run and got people all excited before they played, I guess, a real team and got shown how it's done. But nevertheless, it was kind of fun to see everybody rally together in a World Cup environment. I don't know if we see that so much in any other sport, really.
No, I think you know, when you have genuine World Cups, of which, you know, football is, as we call it, soccer as you call it, it unites countries, it unites the world. Everybody plays that sport, and I think that's why it's so big. What I would say, you know, to transfer it to golf is certainly for Europe, when the Ryder Cup comes around, the Solheim Cup comes around, you know, it doesn't have the same reach, but anyone who's interested in it, it really, you know, pulls Europe together as an entity. And obviously for the Americans, you could say something very similar. So I think that's the time when golf gets tribal. We have Rugby World Cup. Again, we'll bring people together, but it doesn't have the reach of soccer. I mean, I'm interested from your point of view, just how front and center of the minds of the American sporting population is the World Cup, because, you know, for us, you know, the whole world is watching. Is America per se watching?
I would say,
yeah,
yes.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think good. They are. You know, we had some really good friends that went up to Seattle to watch the U.S.'s first match up there in Seattle. And he said it was amazing. 64,000 people in the stands. They didn't even have anybody come out to sing the national anthem, and the whole arena sang the national anthem, just a cappella. And he said the electricity in the stadium was off the charts.
Yeah. You guys should do that more often. Just sing it without somebody else, you know, doing the solo. Just a personal opinion. And you're still interested even though America are out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was,
I want to see who wins.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, it's definitely dominating the land. I would say that this is what you would call the dog days of summer for American sports, yep. Right? In fact, there's probably more excitement around college football starting up here soon, you know, in 5 weeks, than there is, you know, around, you know, baseball per se.
Baseball right now.
This month, yeah. Right? This month. And so World Cup has really filled that. Certainly even more than golf. World Cup is, I was in New York, during the Open, and then, you know, stayed for a couple of days, and it was just all anybody was, you know, it was on everywhere. And, you know, it was cool. Like I said, it's unifying, it's neat, it's cool. Maybe we transition just a little bit. I didn't want to lead with this, but I did want to get your opinion on this, because I know you were at Shinnecock, and it feels like that fan decorum continues to be a topic of conversation around the game of golf. And I want to ask you about Birkdale 50 years ago when Johnny Miller won in 1976, but I watched the video, the film from that the Open put together, the R&A put together, and it was so apparent that those in attendance were so supportive of everybody playing. And the decorum was just what you would expect it to be, you know, 50 years ago, and what you would hope it might be even today. But we saw it get a bit out of hand out in Long Island. What are your thoughts, having experienced it both at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage and then at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open? And do you see any of that at the Open Championships in any of their venues? I'm just curious what you think of that and how we address that right now.
Well. First things first, I didn't actually go to Shinnecock. It was a rare occasion where I missed an American major, but that was just because my son was going away to Australia the following week, so it wasn't a good time for me to be away from home. But I did watch it very closely from home. I commentated on it from home for the BBC, and I was very, very aware of the hostility that was particularly directed towards Wyndham Clark. You know, we could hear it. And, you know, it's another example of a loss of decorum. We've seen partisan support in golf. And let me go through the full list here. But, you know, obviously the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. We saw it at the Players' Championship when Cam Young was up against Matt Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick, you know, got a fair amount on the 72nd tee, when that went on. And there are obviously other examples in the United States, but to balance that out, and I think this often gets lost in the conversation, and I think that people in Europe are pretty one-eyed about this, but it happens over here as well. It happened to Brian Harman when he won at Hoylake. He got some really horrible stuff shouted at, and it only takes a few people to spoil it for everybody else. And I do think on both sides of the Atlantic, the vast majority of golf supporters are much more closely aligned to the kind of galleries and the kind of support in 1976 that you've referenced when Johnny Miller beat Seve Ballesteros. But there are more people who just want to be heard, want to say, shout stuff and be nasty. And it's across the board. You know, when Rory McIlroy, and I wrote about this on the BBC, I got a lot of abuse from particularly Irish people who were reading that article. I saw it in the comments, but it was an undeniable fact that when Rory McIlroy won the Irish Open, there were Irish fans calling for Lagergren, his opponent, to hit the ball in the water in the playoff hole. There were loud cheers when he did hit it into the playoff hole. It was very, very partisan, and that's inescapable. It's a fact. You know, the European Ryder Cup crowds in Italy were very, very close to the line. I think they were the right side of the line, but only just. So I just offer that up as context. I think it's societal. I think that you know, I don't know. It might not be my place to go into the reasons for it, but we can see what is said on social media in all different walks of life. And it's just, and Rory McIlroy made this point this week, it is societal. And that's what we're going through. And that's what's prompted the RNA to bring out effectively a code of conduct for spectators next week. And I think that most right-thinking golf fans that will be there will be very, very hopeful that if anyone breaches that code of conduct, they're thrown out of the place. There's going to be 300,000 people there. It's going to be baking hot. They're going to be drinking a lot of beer, and there will be people who will go the wrong side of the line, as they did on Long Island at Shinnecock Hills, and as they have done at the other instances, you know, that I've highlighted.
Ian Carter, BBC golf correspondent, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. We have to take a short break, but more previewing next week's Open Championship with Ian right here on Real Golf Radio.
With MedGuard Alert, you're never alone. You can connect with medical professionals anywhere, anytime. And now MedGuard is introducing our exclusive new CareWatch. If you need help quickly, use it from anywhere to contact medical professionals. No cell phone required. The CareWatch is not only a life-saving medical alert device. It's a revolutionary health monitoring system that checks your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, and much more. And here's the best part. If you have Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. The CareWatch is only available through MedGuard Alert. Call us right now. We have monitoring programs starting as low as $1 a day. The call is free, activation is free, shipping is free, and no contract is required. Remember, with Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. Call us to get your CareWatch right now.
800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. 800-853-8931. That's 800-853-8931.
If you're serious about investing in gold or silver, Allegiance Gold will give you an additional $5,000 in free gold to add to your portfolio. They can help you buy any amount of gold or silver, even roll over your current IRA into gold. They've helped thousands invest millions in gold over the years, with prices that are some of the best in the industry, with fees that are fair, reasonable, and transparent. Protect your wealth with gold. Save on your gold or silver pricing when you buy from the top-rated Allegiance Gold. Invest in gold or silver today by calling Allegiance for your free gold guide. And learn about the $5,000 free gold offer with qualified purchase. Call now.
800-413-1937. 800-413-1937. 800-413-1937. That's 800-413-1937.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, Ian Carter from the BBC is our guest as we look forward to next week's Open Championship at Royal Birkdale.
You're there at the Scottish Open right now, and there's a great leaderboard going on with Rory McIlroy up there at the top, tied for the lead, Matthew Fitzpatrick. One of the big shocking things was that Scottie Scheffler, after 78 made cuts, ended up missing the cut, shooting 68-72. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he said afterwards that he just couldn't get the ball close enough. He knew he needed birdies, and he just couldn't find the precision and the accuracy and the wherewithal on what is a very, very lengthy Scottish Open this year. You know, in previous years, there's been enough rain around to make it a softer test than a traditional fast and firm links test. Not this year. It is proper linksy. And if you haven't quite got that level of precision for whatever reason, then you are going to struggle. Low scores were out there. Jordan Smith, 63. Saw John Rahm bounce back with a 65. Today, Fitzpatrick round in 65. But for that, your game really needs to be on. And clearly, Scheffler's wasn't his round of 72, meaning that he has missed the halfway cut for the first time, since 2022. You know, and people said to him afterwards, well, what does this mean for your preparations for next week? And he admitted, he said, well, it's not the preparations I was expecting. Now, I'd fully expect, you know, a player of his talent, and let's face it, you know, albeit it's not been the standout year that we're used to, it's still been a very, very good year so far for Scheffler. I think he can bounce back and be a real contender next week. And, you know, it's not unheard of for players to miss cuts one week and win the next. Victor Hovland did it only last week after missing out at the halfway stage at the US Open. So, you know, I don't think there's any reason to press any panic buttons. It's noteworthy because this is a player who does not miss cuts. But I think, you know, given the demands that the players are facing, you know, if you are going to be slightly off, you're going to be in trouble. And that, I think, is what happened as far as Scheffler's concerned.
Ian Carter, BBC golf correspondent, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. You mentioned Matt Fitzpatrick. After watching Matt at the Ryder Cup last fall, I told the guys on the show here, I said, Matt is not only going to win next year on PGA Tour, he's going to win a major championship. And I picked him to win the Open at Birkdale. Tell me why or why not my pick is a good one going into next week.
I think it's a very good pick. One of the reasons is that it's long overdue to have an English winner of the Open. And we haven't had an English winner of the Open in England since Tony Jacklin in 1969.
Wow.
So historically, it's you know, all Faldo's wins came in Scotland. So historically, it's about time it happened. But if you were, whatever nationality Fitzpatrick was, if you were looking at his resume for the year, the number of tournament victories, the number of high finishes, the fact that he's, you know, within a shot of the lead at the halfway stage on a links test in Scotland the week before, you would be justified in saying this is someone who has to be considered one of the favorites for the title. He's playing with such confidence, such control, plenty of power. The work that he's done with Mark Blackburn is really paying dividends. And if you think back 12 months ago, you know, we were just seeing the start of the dividend of the work that he's done with Mark Blackburn. And, you know, he contended for a long time before Scotty Scheffler ran out a convincing winner at Royal Portrush. So I get the feeling that he's got a lot of confidence about him right now. And, you know, I could really see him being a contender and potential winner next week.
You know, what's interesting, in 1998, Justin Rose burst on the scene as a player, amateur, at the age of 17, and shortly thereafter turned professional. What would it mean to come full circle around with him and have an opportunity for him to win this week?
Look, there are two major storylines, certainly from our point of view, going into this Open Championship. And one is Tommy Fleetwood, because he is from Southport, literally down the road from Royal Birkdale. He used to sneak onto the course as a kid with his dad. That would be, I would argue, that would be the number one, because he's not won a major as yet, and he's been a world-class player for as long as we know he's been a world-class player. But the other is Justin Rose, and for a couple of reasons. You highlighted the first, coming, what was it, fourth, holing out for birdie on the last with that amazing wedge shot as a 17-year-old in 1998, and then embarking on a professional career, which started with more than 20 missed cuts on the European Tour, and then grew into a career of such substance. He reached number one in the world, Olympic champion, US Open champion. And then you consider the near misses he's had in recent years in the majors, two playoff defeats in the Masters, and of course, coming runner-up to Xander Schauffele at Royal Troon just a couple of years ago. 45 years of age, but someone who's really looked after himself and is still playing some of the best golf of his career at that advanced age. So if he were to do, as you describe it, going full circle and then lift the claret jug for the first time at the place that he announced himself to the world, well, that is an extraordinary story as well. So, you know, there are so many ways to go at this Open, and so many potential storylines. But I think those two, with English players at an Open being staged in England, are really right up there at the top.
Ian, I know we're taking a lot of time, but I got to ask you, it's the 50th anniversary of Johnny Miller's win back in 1976 at this golf course, Royal Birkdale. And I went back and watched the film. It's a great one, by the way. If anyone's looking, it's about 55 minutes. It's awesome. It just is terrific. Peter Allis is narrating, and it's fantastic. It was so interesting. Seve Ballesteros, 19 years young. And then you got Johnny Miller and Jack Nicklaus and Raymond Floyd and a host of others. And to watch this all unfold, and Johnny obviously was the class on the final round and ended up winning by a pretty good margin, and Seve struggled a little bit. But do you think this will – it still seems like this is remembered as much for Seve's sort of coming out party or arrival in the golf world as it was for Johnny's big win.
Yeah, and I think that's – you know, because Seve was such a – huge figure for European golf, that's why it resonates on this side of the pond, maybe more than actually Johnny Miller winning. When Johnny Miller won, he was a hugely, hugely popular figure on both sides of the Atlantic. And there was a feeling, and I remember I was only 11 years old, but I was just getting into golf big time at that time. And I remember, you know, thinking that is perfect. Johnny Miller winning an Open Championship, that is absolutely right, because he is arguably the best player in the world at that time, certainly in that conversation. And, you know, it was great for the Open, it was great for him, it was great for golf that he should win. But I think in the long run, even greater for golf was the arrival of Seve Ballesteros, and the fact that he announced himself on the world stage in such a daring way. It told us what this character was. And that character never changed. It never changed. We, you know, he was always the swashbuckling, charismatic star that we saw when he emerged on the scene, young, good-looking, innocent, and breathtakingly talented. They put all that together. What an amazing concoction. And then, of course, he went on to win it three times, and You know, they were great and memorable Open Championships, the ones that he won, but also the one that he lost is remembered very, very deeply.
And finally, this golf course, obviously there's been some changes. Rory McIlroy said the 15th is going to be somewhat controversial. This is a kind of who's who in golf. You know, Peter Thomson, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Johnny Miller, Tom Watson, Marco Mira, Ian Baker Finch, Padraig Harrington, Jordan Spieth. I mean, this is a really quite a resume of champions at this golf course. What is it about Royal Birkdale that seems to bring that out?
For me, I think it's, you know, I always put Lynx golf courses ahead of any other kind of golf course, to be perfectly honest. And I think Royal Birkdale is the best golf course in England and the best venue in England because of the dunes that create so many natural amphitheaters for the spectators. It feels very intimate and atmospheric when the players are playing there. You list the winners that have been there, and they're all great players that were at the top of their game when they won their claret jugs at that golf course. You know, Harrington was defending his title. The golf that Jordan Spieth played in 2017, the most recent edition, was breathtaking down that closing stretch of holes. And you know, as far as the changes are concerned, I think the biggest talking point will be that 15th hole, which, if they play it off the tips, measures 240 yards. And I know long par threes are a very divisive topic in terms of golf course architecture, and a lot of people don't like them. And I was in the room when McIlroy was asked about that 15th hole, and it was quite clear he was being diplomatic, but he's not a huge fan of it, and that may well be down to that kind of feeling that the best par threes are really short holes rather than really long holes. Well, I've played it, and the one when I was there, I thought to myself, there is scope here, off the right tee and the right pin positions, for this to be a really, really fascinating hole where there can be plenty of scoreboard volatility, and it could be a pivotal hole coming down the closing stretch. And then when you think of places like Carnoustie, with the 16th there, long par three, Troon, the 17th and the long par three there, and how much volatility there've been over the years with those particular holes, it could be really, really interesting. So I think, you know, people will have their opinions before the championship. I wonder if they're critical, whether those opinions will change once the championship has been completed. And we'll only know that answer, obviously, once it's done. But I'm fascinated to see how it plays.
Ian Carter, BBC golf correspondent. Ian, thanks so much for your insights, and we'll look forward to listening to you next week during the coverage of the Open as well. And as always, we thank you for spending some time with us.
Brian, Bob, always a pleasure.
There you go. Ian Carter joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Could listen to him talk all day long. He's absolutely fantastic. We'll take a break. More of the show continues next.
Every champion needs a home field advantage. Mountain America Credit Union will go to bat for you with mortgage loans that cover every base, including a free appraisal for a limited time. We're not just your lender, we're your biggest fans. Mountain America Mortgage, your home team. Apply today. Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. This limited time offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 462815.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay, you can play, enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
add you into golf. By Worldwide Golf, we love the game of golf just like you. We're here for golfers because we know golf like no one else. Since 1971, your local Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf has been the trusted partner on and off the course, providing reliable expertise you can count on. With over 60 years of experience and our legendary 90-day guarantee, we've always been here to help you get there. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
We know how much you love this game. That's why we built the USGA Gin app presented by Century Insurance.
Let's go. Hey, y'all can hit first.
Yes. It's there for you before, during, and after your round because it's all about getting the most out of every shot. And even more importantly, your next one.
Nice. Yeah.
Join, connect, enjoy. The USGA Gin app. Experience a better round.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back. This segment is brought to you by Black Desert Resort. BlackDesertResort.com, where you can book your stay and play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Design Golf Course. You may have heard the rumors that there might be more golf coming. Yeah, check it out. BlackDesertResort.com. That's BlackDesertResort.com. I can tell you the water park is coming. It's going to be opening up next summer. And can you imagine escaping this heat into the even warmer weather to be able to bask and frolic in the most amazing water park in hundreds of miles? I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be such a cool place. And it already is. But adding that water park element is going to be pretty cool. BlackDesertResort.com. Hey, next week, it's the Open Championship. Fourth and final major in men's golf. And we couldn't be more excited. Thank you again to Ian Carter from the BBC for spending a couple of segments with us and talking through those things. We hit a lot there, Bob. Let's talk about kind of that the golf course, which is our last question. And, you know, again, you look at the players that have won here. Back in 1954, Peter Thomson, who did it again in 65. Arnold Palmer in 61. Trevino in 71. Johnny Miller, 50 years, by the way, standing ovation. Johnny Miller, 50th anniversary of hoisting the claret jug and winning in 1976. We'll talk about that coming up. Tom Watson in 83. Ian Baker Finch in 1991. Interesting, right? I mean, that was his one and only major, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Mark O'Meara picked up his second of two majors by winning in 1998. He was also the reigning Masters champion that year.
Yes.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when Johnny won in 76, Raymond Floyd was giving chase as the reigning Masters champion that year.
So that's correct.
That is kind of interesting. Padraig Harrington in 2008 and Jordan Spieth in 2017. 2008, by the way, Harrington defended. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Went back to back. 2007 was at the Nasty against Sergio, where Sergio started talking about how he was out there battling unseen foes, that whole weird
thing.
That's
right.
And then Patty goes on to win it again in 2008. And then Jordan Spieth, who will ever forget the famous go get that putt by Jordan Spieth? That. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty good. That big old long putt was 50, 60 feet and knocked it right in the hole, turned abruptly left in the last couple of feet, and he just pointed to
Michael
to Greller and said, go get that.
Yeah, it was classic. It was right in his prime. Kind of missed that, by the way. Spieth was such a fun competitor to watch, and I almost hardly remember, right? It feels like it's been so long. We're going on 9 years ago since he won there.
I know.
9 years ago. And it feels like after that was over, it kind of just shut down. But you remember Jordan was he was a human highlight reel.
Yeah.
Was it the Travelers that he holed out the bunker on Matty Fitz, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, and jumped out and did the chest bump.
The chest bump, right. Yeah. I mean, he also, I think he holed out to win his first one at John Deere out of the bunker, right?
Out of the bunker,
he just
correct.
Had this flair for stuff. It was sort of like a little Phil Mickelson-esque, but maybe with a little less drama or a little less like disaster around it. So yeah, I mean, I kind of miss that. And he's always chattering and chirping, hey Michael, this, and it just you almost felt like you were going through this emotional ride with Spieth when he was in contention, and yet it was always a happy ending to the movie because he always somehow pulled it out. And not that he always did, but it felt that way. And
it was really cool to be in around him, you know, in at majors and be able to hear him because he didn't pull punches. Mm. He wasn't like a Tiger Woods or a Phil Mickelson or whatever that had pat answers. He was kind of the guy that came along and started kind of opening up the book and letting people know what he was feeling and really kind of just being very vocal about what he was doing.
Let me ask you. I don't remember Peter Thomson. It was way before my time. I don't know if you had any interaction or any memories of Peter Thomson.
I did. You did? Yeah, I met with Peter Thomson a lot when my dad first started playing on the Champions Tour. What a nice gentleman and, of course, a phenomenal Open Championship winner.
What was his game? Do you remember his game at all? Like what he's known for? And what I'm getting at here, Bob, I'll give you a second to think about that. Arnold Palmer. Okay. He manufactured golf shots, right? He was his own swing. Like he was a swashbuckler. He, you know, Lee Trevino, you could put him in the same category. Johnny Miller, consummate ball striker. When you think of ball strikers, Johnny Miller comes to the top of the list. But who was he chasing and ultimately overtake? Seve Ballesteros, who was the ultimate swashbuckling ball striker. Tom Watson, an amazing ball striker. I don't remember Ian Baker Finch. You'll have to help me on his game. Marco Mira felt like more of a kind of a steady guy. Again, I would love your comment on that. Patty is a just a crazy range rat ball striking guy. And then Spieth is a little that way. So what I'm saying is I don't know if Peter Thomson fits that mold. I don't know if Ian Baker Finch and Marco Mira fit that mold, but it feels like all those other winners are sort of that kind of sort of shot making, you know, do it a little differently kind of player.
Peter Thomson, of course, won it, five times, I think, and twice at this golf course. Peter Thomson, at least later in his career, when I was around him and saw him play and was in groups with him with my dad, when I was caddying for my dad, Peter Thomson was the kind of guy, he didn't hit it too particularly far. He played it down a little bit, so he took advantage of probably conditions and what those golf courses were conditioned like. You know, a lot of them, you know, when we looked at the video of Johnny Miller's, the golf course would burn out.
Oh,
it was dry. And Peter Thomson would have been able to get a lot of distance because of that. But he was a real ball striker's ball striker. Hit it relatively straight. Ball didn't move one way or the other, but just kind of on a low trajectory straight path. And that's why I think he had some really good success there in the Open Championship. Marco Mira was the same kind of guy, just a little bit of a draw. And coming off, had to have great feelings coming off his Masters victory earlier in that year in 1998. Ian Baker Finch was always known as a phenomenal putter. And so for him to get his one and only there at Royal Birkdale shows just what he was able to do with the putter. And, you know, he was a winner on tour and that kind of thing. So, and then of course, you know, Padraig and all these other guys with what they were able to do. But Peter Thomson, great ball striker and great player.
It's interesting that you brought up putter because again, Peter Thomson, obviously you don't win that many majors if you're not a great putter. Arnold Palmer, you don't win as many times but I don't think of Arnold Palmer as a great putter. I think he was clutch. He wasn't jacked though, right?
No.
I think he did it differently. Johnny was always, that was his bugaboo was the putter. Although watching that film, he made some incredible putts.
Well, early on in his career, he didn't have that. It was later in his career that he had the troubles with the putter.
And Tom Watson, again, you're talking, Peter putter. Thomson and Tom Watson, those guys are, both five?
Yeah.
Opens?
Yeah. Maybe Watson, maybe six.
Oh, did he have
six? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's anyway, really interesting. I'll tell you, if you've got 55 minutes, go watch the 1976 Open
at Royal
Birkdale. It's the 50th anniversary of Johnny winning. And there are some things I want to talk to the caddy about, because I told him, I said, if you get a chance, pop this on. But Seve as a young 18-year-old was great, 18 or 19, 19, I think. It was fun to watch him. He already had that. In fact, Peter Allis, who's just legend, right? Golf yes. commentator. And that last pitch shot that Seve hits on the 72nd hole splits the bunkers, hits a kind of a bump and run pitch.
Mm-hmm.
When you yep. think it's got to be with two pot bunkers and a little narrow alley between them. And he took the narrow alley on the ground. And and got it up there and made the putt.
The fans go, oh, yeah. And then they go, ah.
And Peter Allis goes, cheeky lad. I mean, it's perfect. Oh, like it's so good. And you got Christy O'Connor Jr. playing. He's in contention. He's wearing that little like sort of round, I don't even know what you'd call it. Almost looks like a derby hat or a jockey hat, but it's got the little puffball on top. It's
little
classic.
Puffball on top.
And yep. By the way, I want Jack's shirt. Someone has to recreate that shirt with money. Dude, the collars on that thing, the four button yep. placard, all in white, and then the orange and blue stripes on that shirt was money, by the way. And and how good is, you know, Jack and Floyd and these guys, they were kind of out of it and they just made a little push and end up, you know, right there at the end. Seve, nice little birdie to tie Jack there at the end. And and then Johnny gives his speech. And this is why, by the way, first of all, this is why I miss Johnny in the booth, but I also know why everybody used to like bag on Johnny. Like Johnny can't help saying stuff that's just Johnny. Like, what was it? What was his line?
He said, I want to congratulate Seve and Jack for their runner-up finishes. And he said, and I want to thank everybody else because they made it pretty easy for me to win.
I mean, I was like, oh, John. Oh, my. First of all, Seve would have very much appreciated it because I know he idolized guys like Johnny Miller, right?
Yep, yep.
But Jack does not want to be congratulated for finishing second. Not one bit. And I think he was pretty happy that he made a little run. Like if you really wanted to kind of privately, he might be like, hey, I gave it a run. Johnny played better, but I finished second when I had kind of no business. I was sort of out of it. And he made a little run. But there's nothing about Jack that, I mean, he had 19 seconds and no one ever brings that up. It's only the 18 wins that he made in the majors, right?
Yeah. So I kind of went back and looked at Peter Thompson and Tom Watson.
Yeah.
So Watson won in 75, 77, 80, 82, and 83. He won those Open championships. Now listen to this. Peter Thompson, he won in 54, 55, and 56, and 58, and then again in 65. So a 5-year span, he won four times. 6-year span, he won four times. Crazy how good that was.
Well, apparently Johnny's win was sandwiched between two Watson wins then, based on what you said there, 75 and 77. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And interesting, another interesting point that we'll have to get in with the caddy coming up next hour on this film and the way golf used to be 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not only did they have a 36-hole cut, they had a 54-hole cut. I didn't remember that.
Oh, yeah. So,
and Tom Watson missed the 54 hole cut.
Yeah. I remember being over there one time. We were on our way to Morocco and for His Majesty King Hassan II's birthday. It was like one of the first times that we were going there. And incidentally, that year my dad made the cut and then he made the 54 hole cut. So he got to finish and play this. And our flights were changed till the next day or the day after. But what happened, interestingly enough, in Morocco is there was a coup on the King of Morocco at that point in time, and we would have been at the festivities had my dad missed the cut, the 54 hole cut, and thank goodness he made the 54 hole cut. And we were allowed to arrive in the country 2 or 3 days later. We stayed in London for a few more days. But yeah, 54 hole cut. That's how I remember there was a 36 and a 54 hole cut.
That's pretty cool. So Johnny Miller shoots 66 in the final round for a total of 279 and a 6-shot victory over Seve and Jack. Ray Floyd was at 286. Hubert Greene, which I think, if I remember them in the film, said he was the current U.S. Open champion.
Huh.
So that would have been when he won at Southern Hills, when he had death threats?
I think so. Yep.
Interesting. Yep. Young Tom Kai. Tommy Horton was an Englishman that was making a lot of noise there. And by the way, Mark James, just before Johnny came in, did you listen to that? They showed Mark James making birdie at the last to shoot a course record 66, and then Johnny matches it to win. That's pretty cool, right?
Johnny had a putt on the final hole from about 15 to 18 feet that he thought he had made. It just came up just a bit short.
Tom Weisskopf got in at 292. I'm just going down here and want to find Gary Player, 294. Faldo, 294. Where's Papa San here?
I don't know if he would have played.
Oh, I 76. Thought you were saying he played that one. Oh, you say that? No. Oh, that's not the one that he played. Oh,
no,
sorry.
No. Oh, okay. There was one that he played. It probably would have been about. Oh,
you're saying that's when you were on your way over. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying it was over. This one here. Oh, that's interesting.
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
So
anyway, good stuff. Hey, by the way, you talked about the Scottish Open leaderboard. And we got a good one. You got Rory and Tom Kim up there, Jordan Smith from England.
How about Tom Kim playing well again?
Yeah, it's been a minute, right?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, and here he is getting right back in the mix of it in majors. That's awesome.
That's really, he's such a fun guy to watch. You got Matt Fitz, and I talked about, again, that's my guy coming in from the way too early major picks. I still feel like he's a guy, look, 67, 65 in his two round. Like that's, I know they had perfect weather over there, right?
Yep.
The weather hasn't really been the story yet, but I still like my pick going into next week, and so does Ian, which was great.
Yeah,
but
Chris Goddard, who burst on the scene last year, winning the Scottish Open, playing with Rory McIlroy in the final group, and faced him down, and ended up winning, and then he goes to the Open Championship, finishes fourth. That guy right now has won four times in the last 12 months. And three times this year on the PGA Tour. So Chris Goddard, he's right back in the mix again at 7-under par.
And I'm going to tell you next hour why Chris Goddard has inspired my game. And we're going to talk about that as well. Stay tuned. The back nine, hour number two, including America's favorite cat.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history. And it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Lower your car payment today. Lower your car payment today. Yes, you heard us right. You can lower your car payment right now by making this free call and save up to $1,400 a year on your current car payments. Think about your current car payment right now. What's that costing you per year? Now think about what it would be like to put an extra $1,400 back in your pocket. That's the average savings our customers experience. We can help you drive the same car and pay less every month by lowering your car payment's interest rate to as low as 4.67%. At Rate Genius, we can work with you to refinance any car payment. If you qualify, it costs you nothing to find out how you can lower your car payment. To learn more, call this number right now.
800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. That's 800-832-2816.